sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Joan.
Very nice. And it's slasher week or month. What is it?
We're breaking the mold. The Giallo mold.
Wide open. This week, we are reviewing Stage Fright. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, doing our first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. John, make sure you're following us whenever you're ready.
Aquarius.
Don't feel pressured, but whenever you're ready... to follow us, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Please keep reminding me. I'm a very forgetful guy. I don't know.
Will do. So we're doing part two.
Aquarius.
Part two of our slasher month. And we're going to take a look at or review Stage Fright, which is probably a lesser known movie, but has a lot of, lineage, right? There's a lot of history behind it.
Yeah. From the guy that gave you the... tickets to go watch that movie in Demons.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, he's the director of this movie.
But as always, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I have a bonus. No, I'm not going to spoil that.
Okay.
No, you know what? Spoiler. Best character dies fast.
All right. Yeah, fair.
My favorite character, bum me out. Great. Coming in at number 3 for Stage Fright, The Watchman, Moore had intended.
Ah, yes.
Because you have Owlman, you have Silk Spectre Monroe, Marilyn Silk Spectre Monroe.
What?
Saxophonist Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, Silk Spectre. Very true.
Coming in at number 2 for Stage Fright. Hold on, I think I'm going to switch these. Actors finally making the cut.
Nice, very nice.
And coming in at number 1 for Stage Fright, Lady saved by a nice Willy.
Yeah, there it is. All of these will make sense in the end of this episode. Stage Fright, a slasher giallo inspired horror movie. Right? Not, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say true giallo.
No, because there isn't any blatant nudity.
Right. Or like there's usually like a mystery to the story that like, oh, we got to figure out who the killer is. We're kind of like told who the killer is like in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that's sort of just him just kind of like they're all stuck together or whatever. So, but yes, like you were saying, it was called Aquarius among other names. When it was getting distributed, and I should say right at the top, since it's a giallo movie, it was shot in Italy, and there's like they dubbed it, so if we should probably say that up front.
Yeah.
Like it's like it was dubbed, so it's like the conversation or whatever seems a little off. It's because of the dubbing, the English dubbing,
which I'm inclined to believe they did. I think it was just like ADR, right? Because it looks like they're speaking English, but they're not doing a great job of tracking.
Some of the, like, I don't know if that bothers people. It bothers me. I hate it when they do that, when they put the, like, they try to match, they sync up the lips and stuff.
I grew up watching Jackie Chan movies. I'm okay.
Like, there was even a movie recently that, like, used AI to correct it, but their mouths are slightly warped, so it's a little off-putting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I remember them. I didn't personally see it, but somebody was like pointing it out on something I was watching, and I was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Oh, well, famously, they used it in the Brutalist, I think.
Oh, is that why he got in trouble?
Yeah. Which was a big controversy, yeah.
That makes sense. But this is directed by Michel Sauvy? Sauvy? Let's say Sauvy. He was he was the protege of Dario Argento, and
yes.
I like that this movie is set in America, right?
It's like they put some American flags on the police cars because that's something we do. It's really funny. It's like this is the least, like, this looks nothing like this part of the earth.
The setting of it is in a theater, which we have a lot of like experience since we went to school and learned the craft of theater. So John, what you think? What are your first thoughts?
I loved it. I mean, it's not a perfect movie, but I had a hell of a time. It's really great. I'd say this is equal parts mystery, or not mystery, like slasher, equal parts slasher to equal parts like flash dance to equal parts like a queer movie. It's like very well rounded in that sort of way. It's like interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. I really like this movie too. I thought it had, like you said, like very stylish direction. I like the setting. It's not there. I guess there's been quite a few movies set in a theater, but not like a movie theater, but like a actual like theater. And I think the setting kind of creates like they used the like stage lighting and they used the surrounding the actual stages very well. The way they kind of like shot everything, it kind of like gave it a good like suspense to a lot of the shots, especially like the opening shot where it opens and we think it's just this girl on the street and it slowly kind of like pulls back.
And if you don't like stick with it for like at least 2 minutes, you're like, man, this movie looks bad.
Yeah.
Before you realize it's a play.
Yeah. It pulls out to the yeah, play, yeah, which is really funny because the play is like an erotic serial killer movie about an owl. Owlhead murderer, yeah, right? Like
he's, yeah, this like realistic sort of huge owl headdress.
Yeah, the night owl. And I guess the director is not pleased with the eroticism. They haven't quite reached the peak of it, so he's like obsessed with making it more and more demanding. Everything, which is so funny.
And before I forget, there's a part where, well, you know, you quickly realize, okay, we're watching a play in the movie, because they start doing like crazy dances. There's like a woman pops out dressed like Marilyn Monroe playing saxophone, which is a part of the score, which excellent score.
Of course. Yeah.
And at one point they're like, our protagonist who's wearing like, she's dressed kind of like, I guess she's supposed to be like a sex worker or something, but she also kind of looks like Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner, and she gets thrown up in the air and it's very obviously a dummy, like not even a good looking one, like made out of like cotton.
Yeah.
And falls to the ground, and I thought like that's hilarious. And then it cuts back to her and she's like opening her eyes on the ground, and I guess you're supposed to believe that was her because she sprains her ankle doing that, and I'm like, wait, hold on.
Let's not undersell it.
We're supposed to believe the like, dummy was her.
The dummy yeah, does the like flaccid, like, oh, my limbs are flying everywhere.
yeah.
Kind of
yeah,
like move, like the legs are just going every which way. It looks totally fake. And I guess the idea is that there's so much shit going on. There's like people dancing. There's like an owl head. There's just, like the crazy, or the lady with the saxophone, the Marilyn Monroe lookalike with the saxophone up in the like one of the windows of the buildings or some shit.
Yeah.
It was just like all this like crazy, like, opening, I guess it's the opening of the, yeah, of the play or whatever.
But it's hard not to notice that the dummy, because the dummy also looks like they made it 6'3" or something. It's just like flailing limbs.
Yeah, when I saw it too, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, this is just like part of the show. They're kind of like like doing an impression of like her being killed or something. But no, we literally do like cut to like a close up of her on the floor, like in pain because she hurt her ankle or some shit. Like I'm like, what's the fuck is this? This is so awful.
Like what? Yeah, like why did that happen? Okay.
And then yeah, I would say these are like, to me, this like after that point, it's kind of like this is where the story kind of falls off a little bit. Like this is the point where it's like totally unbelievable, because then she the director stops and is not happy about something about her performance, and then she's like, oh, I hurt my ankle. And then the one of the costume designers, your favorite
costumer, yeah, which she's wearing the most badass cramp shirt,
is like, oh, we should go sneak away and get your ankle checked and stuff like that. So she looks up in a phone book, oh no, there's a hospital right around the corner, we'll go.
It's like psychiatric ward. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. So, and then of course it's raining, because every giallo movie there has to be like a raining scene in it. So it's raining night. So then she takes her to the quote unquote hospital. It's actually a psych ward. And what do you know it? There's a famous actor who killed his troupe of other actors in a different stage play. Just happens to be there the same night.
Yeah.
So
would have thunk it. And he like escapes. Yeah. And it's also a very she wanders by his room, and they, you know, it's very relaxed, sort of like open door policy at the psych ward. You know, you can't help them if, you know, they feel trapped.
Irving Wallace was his name.
And I like that she's looking, and some like orderly, some young dude, which I remember having like red hair or something, like goes, "Hey, you can't be here." And I couldn't tell if he was supposed to be checking her out or not. The kid was not very good at all. Like, it had to have been somebody's nephew or something.
Well, for sure the doctor is, right? Because like they get to the front and then they tell her like, "This is a psychiatric ward. You can't be here." Shit like that.
Yeah.
The doctor's like,
they kept telling her that, and then they snuck into a room.
Yeah, the doctor's like, "Oh, that's so funny. What are you doing? Theater? Oh, okay, play. Come with me. I'll treat you." Like, I guess that was. I'll help you. And then they pass by the the bars to the room that he's staying in, which was kind of awful. I don't know.
Yeah, and people like in the background, I guess he's killing people. You can kind of see.
I guess the idea is that,
like, a scene's happening and it's happening in the background. It's really funny.
Yeah. And like somehow he awakens Irving Wallace, and the doctor, I guess, treats her and sends them on their way. And Irving Wallace escapes in their car, and they go back to the stage play. And then
stage, which throughout the film, you are going to notice that our protagonist is either really, really limping or completely forgets that her ankle's supposed to be hurt.
Yeah, it was unclear about what the doctor actually did to help her.
Bandaged it, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I don't remember specifically what he had done. But
more importantly, before all that happens, the actor that's supposed to be playing the owl man is just like the most catty guy. And one of the actresses is complaining about, because they're all kind of on the edge of, they're not making any money off this. They don't think anybody's going to watch the play. Mm-hmm. And he comes in and he says, "Stop fetching, honey. You can always go back to microwaving chili at Mexico Joe's." He has like fucking excellent lines like that. Which I'm hoping he ad-libbed. I hope it's just him fucking, you know,
the ADR guy that did it. Just like riffing.
Yeah, the ADR guy.
That'd be great. Get him to do.
Because suspiciously, everybody sounds almost exactly the same.
Right, it's true.
How strange.
And then we get our first kill, right? Unfortunately, yes, we lose Betty, right? Betty was her name, the costume designer.
Betty, she dies with the one with the cool cramp shirt.
Pickaxe to the face, right? Was it something along those lines, like a pickaxe or like some sort of,
yeah, which really sucks because she's going to her car and it is like basically an open lot,
right? Yeah,
and there's nothing out there and she cannot see this guy.
Doesn't she say something like, "Oh, I think I left my lights on," or like the motivation?
No, she goes she's like, I think gonna leave, and she goes out to her car and the trunk is open. She's like, "Huh, weird."
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she just closes
prior to that. I feel like she was motivated because she like, "Oh, there's the lights on," or some shit. "I left a window," like something really kind of like pedestrian. Like they're just making shit up to get her out here to fucking murder her. So it's just a weak excuse.
I feel like at this point they were also all just gonna leave.
Oh yeah
I think, right? They were all thinking about leaving, and then
she got fired. Oh no, she's gonna get fired next in this next scene. During this murder, she gets fired. The actress that actually snuck away to get her ankle checked.
Right? Yeah.
And then
and the whole movie is just her basically going like, "I don't want to be here. I need to leave." And then she just can never leave.
Yeah.
She actually gets knocked out for a good portion of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does some weird thing. They're like running up, climbing into the catwalk, and she starts, for no reason, grabbing the girl in front of her, going like, "Don't leave me." And it's like, what are you talking about? She's right in front of you. Who's leaving who? like relax. And understandably, the other girl panics and kicks her in the head and she falls.
So I guess they end up finding her and they call the police, and they, you know, it gets, you know, they kind of stop the show. But then the director has a great idea. He's going to use this murder to his advantage for publicity. And he says that we're going to do the show earlier and we're going to work extra hard and we're going to try to incorporate, you know, take advantage of this recent death. And then
I know it's pitch black outside, which indicates it's for sure past 7 o'clock. But we're going to rehearse into the night.
You got all, like, some of the main actors in locked the theater, and dun, 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 the theater is locked with the killer in it. And then our killer dons one of maybe iconic owl mask I've ever seen. Like, this is so striking, yeah, so unique. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Just, I never really thought like a massive owl mask like this would like invoke like horror or, you know, an eeriness, because it's so visually striking, you know. It kind of gives it, it's like one of the most unique slasher villains, which,
yeah, it's kind of fun, a photo so I can kind of describe
when it. when I saw like a clip of it, I was like, oh my god, like this looks amazing. I've never seen anything like this, and it works, because you think like I would describe it almost like a mascot type size owl mask, but
yes, that's very
but accurate. Yet it works as, and it's still haunting, it's you know, it still works as like this very memorable image. And it totally works throughout this movie. It's one of the things that I think that like really solidifies it. Its stylish look.
Yeah, that, and I think pretty accurate portrayal of stage actors.
Yeah,
all the men are very sexually fluid.
Yes, like everybody's a little gay. So yeah,
yeah, yeah. You got like the one guy that's like, I guess like the producer guy. He's just there. He knows nothing about anything. Just he's just a money guy. Who's like a part of the ensemble somehow.
Who looks like Paul Sorvino. For low-key, yeah, I thought he was Paul Sorvino. I was like, did I miss this part? When I had it on, when I was, you know, rewatching it, I was like, did I miss this? Is Paul Sorvino in this? I'm like, no, that's not Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, no, that's just some guy.
Yeah, it's just some guy. Yeah, some other actor. But yeah, no, it's very accurately a bunch of like thin twink boys.
And then like some absurdly skinny women too. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even a joke where one of them, I don't know who she's supposed to be portraying. I think they're making fun of American tropes, but she's got like this absurd fake bust that she like takes off at one point.
Oh yeah.
And you realize she's like a super tiny woman.
That was funny. Yeah. That she has like these, I'm assuming like she has like fake breasts, like padded breasts or whatever.
And they're like huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Like similar to like a pregnancy, like sometimes people wear like pregnancy bellies. It's oh, similar, yeah, yep, to that. Exactly. Like Mrs. Doubtfire, our go-to for,
yes, for that's fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other really cool thing is like soon, once the killer is in and dons the owl head or whatever mask, he starts killing them off pretty much like one by one, right? And
yeah, I think kills the makeup artist first. The assumption is the caddy guy that played the Owlman character in the play. You think he died, but is this a spoiler? I don't know.
No.
No, who cares? So the you find out that he's not, that he just got tied up. But the second death we see is he goes on stage, the killer, Irving, his name?
Wallace, yeah.
Something. Wallace. Goes on stage and the director's like, come on, no, you have to kill her with passion. And he's like taking direction because he used to be an actor. And he's like with the headdress on, or yeah, or cowl. No, it's not really a cowl. It's a headdress. And he pulls out a knife. He's like, a knife. Oh, no, this is ruining it. And then just stabs this woman to death in front of everybody.
Yeah, because we think it's like a rehearsal because the director's like, more real, harder, harder, like more aggressive. Like he's like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
pushing for this, and he's like, fall, okay, cool. He's like actually killing her. That's actually probably a really great way to like creative kill, because that sort of moment gets everybody alert, and then they're like, oh, okay, this is some crazy person, a thing, and they're kind of like putting it together, and now they're all kind of like on the run from him,
like together too. It's a little Scooby-Doo-ish, which is interesting. But they still get picked off in like pretty comical ways sometimes.
Yeah, I would say I think that's actually one of the stronger points. Like, I think there's a lot of really creative kills. It's like not excessively gory for no reason.
No.
But the murders are like inventive. Specifically, I would say like the final image, you know, we see one of the final images when our quote unquote final girl is trying to get out of the thing, has such a like theatricalness and like flair to it. It's like he's like posing in the theater. It's like an amazing shot. I thought it was really well done.
Oh yeah. Which, I mean, that's kind of a spoiler. I'm like trying not to, I don't know what I'm not trying to ruin. I don't know.
Right.
because that ending, because you think like the killer is dead after falling from like the catwalk,
mm-hmm.
which there's a couple things that I think are funny, but I think it's just all like budget constraints. He is fighting the final girl up top. He was trying to swing an axe, and then she's able to like push him and he falls over, but he's like hanging off of like a cable, mm-hmm. and she grabs the axe, and instead of like, because the dude's climbing back up, which I thought was really funny, because he was like, I don't know, maybe a foot off the ground. He could have just dropped down and then ran back up the stairs, right, yeah. but he like starts to like climb up the cable, and in my head I'm like, okay, so she's gonna wait for him to get up top and then hit him in the head with the axe, but no, she's trying to cut this cable that those cables aren't easy to cut open, but he falls and he's supposed to be dead, I guess, right? Mm-hmm.
You want to go to, you mean like towards the end of the movie? You want to go to spoilers so we can like...
Yeah.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's just talk about some of the other kills. The guy, you know, okay, so sometimes the geography of this place was confusing to me.
Okay, yeah.
I know, obviously, they're in the makeup room, the green room at one point, and he punches his hand through the wall and grabs, was it his assistant?
One of the actors, I think.
Okay.
He had a blonder hair actor that died.
Oh, that's right. Right?
So I'm assuming that's either the guy that was playing the owl or one of the other actors.
Well, so the guy that was playing the owl
died later.
At some point they go up to the catwalk all together, and the director Robert sees the owl mm-hmm. man in the corner, and he starts like stabbing him with something. I don't remember if it was like an axe or what, mm-hmm. But kills him. And then they realize that the person was bound hands and feet, and they took off the mask, and it was that actor that had disappeared.
Right, yeah.
So the director accidentally killed somebody.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the things I would say is a weak point in this movie. You have to be critiquing it. I would say there's thin character development. Like, it's kind of hard to distinguish some of these people, you know, like...
Because they all look kind of the same. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, archetypes, you know, not very, like, deeply developed, which is, like, not very common for this type of genre movie, you know? Like, it's a lot of people that you kind of all look the same, you know? I don't know.
Which I think even Michel, so this is his directorial debut.
Yeah.
And I think he had mentioned that he kept pushing that the script isn't ready, but he wasn't sure if he was going to direct it. And he said, of course, if they told me to, hey, do you want to direct this? I would just jump at it regardless of what I think of the script. Mm. So I think he was aware.
Yeah. Another quick thing that I was going to say, we're mentioning like the campiness worked for us. But I think some people can be like, oh, this feels a little cheesy, and like the rehearsal scenes are like, man, it's kind of like over the top, overdone. So it's kind of like maybe some of the acting, the dialogue, to be fair, it's not the best. But I mean, I think we enjoyed it because we get a kick out of like
it's also,
stuff like this. So
it's the type of movie where, I mean, this is definitely a step above most of the Friday the 13th movies.
Which is not a big step. I mean, that's not... Yeah.
But that's like on the same vein of like, you know, he punches his arm through a door, grabs a guy, and then uses like a huge drill bit to like kill him through the door.
Yeah.
And then moments later, from underneath the stage somewhere, I guess. Sewer? I don't know. I was confused. Yeah, there's like a sewer, and I chalked it up to maybe it's just rain damage because it's raining a lot, and I don't know.
Yeah.
In Italy, mold's not that big of a problem. It's not a real thing.
There's canals in Italy.
Yeah. It's just getting that mask all wet.
You're known for knowing about aqueducts. And
that's true. That's my specialty. Yeah. famous a Marvel character, although
aqueduct.
He pulls like he tears a hole through the floor, like from above. I guess like everybody's standing around, and this like one of the girls is like there, and he like reaches up and a huge like person sized hole appears, pulls her down, and she's struggling to keep herself up. And when they finally pull her body, like half of her body's missing.
Right. It's like
I was like, how did he do
that? Yeah, it's a shocking moment.
And that's because you didn't hear that he has a chainsaw, I guess.
Yes, until the next scene. Because the other guy's like, oh, and he jumps down there. And he jumps down. He's like, I got this. I would say like that's maybe before you describe this like chainsaw thing, like that's probably the other thing that like me personally would be critical of. It's like, I feel like once he starts murdering people, I feel like it kind of becomes a little, like the pacing gets a little slow there. Like it gets a little too much, like the pacing slow and he's slowly kind of killing people. And I think that's the middle part of it. Cause I feel like when the final act kind of like comes, it like ramps back up and like we're like, it ends, I think, really, really good.
Yeah. Which is funny cause like everybody dies. Like everybody dies except for a final girl. And she's still alive because she got knocked out. She like spends like most of the second act and then like just knocked out up in the catwalk somewhere. And then she also drops her watch, which is supposed to be an important plot point later. Like,
right, yeah.
She's like, oh, it's a really expensive watch. I need to go back to this place where all my friends were murdered and get it. And it's like all falling apart. I'm like, that is not an expensive watch.
I mean, he shows that the script wasn't ready. I mean, these are all very like things that probably could have been ironed out. Motivation for their action. But yeah, so I mean, like you said, like they kind of all get murdered with a chainsaw. There's somebody has an axe. Somebody gets axed, arm off, and gets their head.
Extreme strength just pops that guy's head off one swing.
And then he kind of like, this is the scene I love. I try to relate it to something else. I feel like I've seen this scene before where he basically takes like all the actors on stage and like puts them in like on different positions and stuff and lays them out. Yeah. And then like he's sitting in the middle of them. Very cool shot. Very, very cool shot.
I think I remember there was kind of like there was this short film called Game Show.
I was about to say, did we? No. That was unintentional. A lot of people don't know what we're talking about, which is fine. Whatever. But like, yes, we did. That's what it was, that we had a shot like that where there was like a room full of dead people. And then we had Rob like in the middle of it or some shit, right?
Yeah. Some short film we did for a film festival many, 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 many moons
Fruity
ago.
Fat fucker. That's still my favorite.
We made our own Jell-O film.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out to me everything I wrote had people tied up. And he's like, is that like a, I forget who asked me. So it's like a kitchen of yours or something. I was like, I don't know. It's just something that, it's just something, I don't know. Okay. I'm not creative.
I like Tarantino.
I'm not creative enough. Right there. Exposed. Oh, anyways. Yeah. So then she has to get the key, which is like the key they were using to kind of move around. It's like a master key, right? Or skeleton key.
Yeah.
And so it's conveniently trapped on stage. And so she kind of works her way through the bottom of the stage, tries to grab it.
It was like wedged in a way that was, it wouldn't fall through the crack, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going the opposite direction of it falling straight through. And she like, sneaks her way underneath the stage and tries to pull it down. I'm like, it's stuck like that for a reason. Mm-hmm. Turn it. And she exposes herself.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, they have, like, one final chase scene up in the catwalk or whatever. How does he die in this? He, like, falls to his death? Or
yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, she cuts that cable because he decides to climb up the cable instead of just dropping down and running back up.
Oh, yeah.
And then he falls, and it's, like, he hits not the stage, but the ground.
The floor.
And his head hits, like, a table.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're like, all right, he's dead. And then it's the next day.
Police.
There's also like a buildup of music. And then she's like walking outside. And there's I forgot about this still right now. There's like a bunch of reporters appear out of nowhere. And they're like, come on, lady, tell us something. Come on, you got to tell us something. Hey, lady, what happened in there? Are all your friends dead? How did they die? Lady, you got to say something. It's like, dude, leave the fuck alone.
They are the paparazzi, if you will, Sean.
Yeah. Seven and a half.
Yeah.
And then it like that's happening. There's like a buildup of music and then it immediately cuts, like everything goes quiet and it's just like the next morning. And she's like, what in the, where is she that she decides like, oh, my watch, I need to go get it. I need to go back to this place.
She just decides, I think she's like walking around the streets or some shit. And she's like, oh, yeah, I have to go back.
I need to get my watch. And then runs into Willie, who had his cat Lucifer running around, and goes like, Willie, I need to get in there. And Willie's like, oh, they told me not to let anybody in there. I can't. Like, she's like, oh, come on, Willie, it's a really expensive watch. She's like, oh, okay. So the movie should really be, they took advantage of this poor dude.
Yeah.
And everybody dies.
Yeah. And then Willie has that.
And then I was gonna say the long, like, it's a off screen him talking to her about like, well, no, the gun worked, it's just that you didn't load it, so there was no bullet in the chamber. You gotta load it up. and then that would have got him. And he keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. And then the Owlman pops up again, trying to kill our final girl.
Yeah.
And he gets shot right in the forehead. And then you just keep hearing Willie go like, "Did you see that? I loaded up the gun and I shot him right between the eyes. That's what happened, miss. I shot him right between the eyes and he went down. I had to, like, you just had to load the gun. Shoot him right between the eyes." I'm like, holy shit, he's just repeating like the same thing over and over again. Five or six
times, literally the same sentence over and over and over again. And then, which is weird because, like, it's assumed that the police, like, investigated this and maybe they picked up the dead body. So why is he here again without the owl mask? Like, I don't know. They kind of like...
Oh, well, that's where she walks in and she sees the little markers, the police, the CSI markers. Right. And she's counting. She's like, eight of them.
That's right.
Why is there only eight? And she's starting to do like the remember everybody in the cast.
Yeah, you're right.
Again, I'm sure she's not traumatized at all. And she's like remembering everybody. And she's like, eight, where is? And then he pops out of nowhere, gets shot in the head. The mask finally falls off. And then they're leaving out the front. And there's like a shot of him. And he like looks at the camera.
Breaks
the
fourth wall. Yeah. He's dead. And then he like his eyes turn to the camera and half smiles or whatever. And then.
Which apparently that was Michelle's like nod to like the killer just never dies.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool. Alrighty. That was stage fright.
Yeah. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah. It stinks. alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate the movie?
No, just excellent soundtrack.
Yes.
It ends with the song from the beginning. I'm like, God, it's fucking
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let's rate the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Stage Fright 7 sexy spooky bones.
7?
Yeah, I think 7.
I almost want to say 7 too, but I think like I kind of really like this movie, so I'll say 8. Which I don't know if it's too high or not, but 7 feels right as well. But
yeah, it's definitely between 7 and 8. It's one of the two.
Yeah, I just really like, you know, like the stylish direction, the owl masked killer. It's like not reinventing the genre in any way, but it's, you know, has a lot of like atmosphere and like for a horror movie. And I think it's, I like that it's like, I think if you like Italian cinema, this is probably something you're going to be into without question. Or this genre, you know, giallo, this type of slasher movie. It should be easy, fun movie to enjoy.
Yeah.
Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and go microwave chili at Mexican Joe's. Mm-hmm.